Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
But today what we're doing is we are finishing and completing the series entitled, I Want to Be Rich. And really what we've talked about through this series each week is we've talked about what it really means to be rich. We've really been redefining rich in our minds and what God wants us to understand what rich is. Again, we've talked over and over again about how we think what being rich was, and we talked a lot about how we think being rich really ties into the game of Monopoly. And we approach life like we do the game of Monopoly, where we think getting rich, it all happens by getting more, by taking more, right? The goal of Monopoly is to have the most money, to have the most houses, to have the most hotels, right? To have the most stuff. We talked about how we do anything to get to that point. Again, nobody ever will play Monopoly with me because I talked about how sometimes I do cheat. I talked about how we change the rules up to bargain or barter at the end, and I will take advantage of you if I can, right? I'll do that. I think sometimes we do this in life as well. We kind of change the rules around because we think getting rich and being rich is having the nicest stuff, having the biggest house, having the most stuff, taking and getting. But God wants us to think a different way. God wants us to understand that being rich is completely different than what the culture tells us. And what we've been doing is we've been jumping into the scripture, which we're going to look at one more time, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. And then as always, the shameless plug at the beginning of the sermon for the Bible app is right here. If you don't have a Bible, there's a free Bible that you can put right on your phone, unless you're like one of two people I know that still have a flip phone. Kenny Newell, right there. That's one. But if you have a smartphone, you can put this right on your phone or tablet. There's reading plans. There's devotionals that you can read every single day. And we actually send one out each week so that you're reading your Bible with us as well. But 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 states this. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And we've been digging into this passage of scripture. We see that Paul is writing to Timothy. And again, Paul, as I stated before, he's the guy that planted these churches, and Timothy's overseeing these churches. So Paul is really warning Timothy about these people who have this arrogant attitude, who are so rich that they're really a danger to the church. But Paul's actually writing to us as well so that we don't become that way, so that our mindset doesn't become a danger to the church, so we don't become so arrogant. He's saying, be careful as far as what you place your hope in, right? Don't become so involved and don't fall into the trap of focusing on this worldly riches, the riches of this present world, but instead focus on the treasures for the coming of age. And this is why we started off this series with this statement. It's more about who you're rich in than what you're rich in. And really, this is the foundation to everything we've learned through this series, right? This is the foundation to becoming a good steward. This is the foundation to have it to living financially debt-free, which we talked about last week, and I know many of you really don't like me because we talked about this last week, and your credit cards might have got cut up by your husband, right? Or your wife, whatever. Whoever's the spender, you got your credit cards cut up, right? We talked about that, though, and that's the foundation of this. And this series is really leading up to what I want to dig in today. And it's living a life of generosity. And if you think about it, generosity is really a radical way to live. It's a way of living that's completely different than what we're really used to. It's really a crazy way of life. It's something crazy that we can do. And I want you to think right now. Think about how if you've ever had a crazy moment in your life. So think through, what's the craziest thing, the craziest moment of your life? Not like when you went crazy. Like, we all have kids. If you have kids, you know you've gone crazy before. That moment of the parent where you, like, just were just completely nuts. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you tried to do something, you dared to do something a little bit different, a little bit on the edge. I mean, most of us, I think even the most conservative, right, the most reserved among us have probably done something or tried something crazy. Right? In some cases, we probably just did it for fun. Other times, maybe we were kind of as like our last resort where we had to do something crazy. So think through this. What's the craziest thing you've ever done? For you, maybe anybody gone skydiving before? Do we have any skydivers? Okay, we got one skydiver. What about Rocky Mountain climbing? What about riding a bull? Okay, I was going to go with the Tim McGraw song, but okay, we've got a couple bull riders and Rocky Mountain climbers. Throw this out there. Let's just open this up. What's the craziest, and keep this clean, what's the craziest thing anybody's done, and you can just shoot it out and just blurt it out? Craziest thing you've ever done. Not everybody out once. Weekend trip to Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore is a fire, and I've got to say, I've done that same thing, and it wasn't with you. So weekend trip, that's a 17-hour drive, and do that in one weekend. That's a little insane. So anything else crazy? Bridge jumping? Nice, nice. So for me, the craziest thing I've done, there's some crazy things that I necessarily can't say, but one of the craziest things I've done was when I was 13, I went parasailing on the ocean. That was like one of those things that was kind of intense. It was kind of fun. It was really, it's just exciting. Now, I sat in the parasail wrong, so I'll tell you, I had my shorts were fitting me crazily afterwards, right? That was one of those things. Another crazy thing that I've done, I've run a marathon in my life, and that was 2 years ago, and then next weekend will actually be my second marathon, and it's like pretty dumb, and I don't know why I did it twice. Should actually have you question my intelligence right here. I'm just going to tell you that. But it's a crazy, when you do something crazy, usually it's a different way of living. It goes against the norm. And when I'm thinking about this marathon and this training for this marathon, right, it's crazy. I had to change some things up in my life. Like sleeping in on Saturday mornings for the last like 6-7 months have been non-existent. Like it's wake up time, especially through the summer. Like we have to run a certain amount of miles and we're going to do it before the sun comes up and gets up. We had to do that, right? Having legs that aren't sore all the time have been really just a dream or something from the past. Like taking a bath just to take a bath is no longer, like it has to, there's ice in the bath now, like because it's freezing, because it's a part of the recovery, right? In fact, I gear up for a run, like I have, like, I'm getting old, so like parts of my body's like hurts. So I'm like double knee braced up, calf sleeves. I kind of look like Forrest Gump running before he actually broke out of the braces. Like there's just different things that I do. It's a crazy way of living. And when we do something crazy, it's really always outside the norm. And God's plan for our finances, God's plan for our financial life is really a crazy way of living. It's different. It's outside the norm. It goes against what we typically think. Again, our culture states to accumulate more, to consume more, to take more. But if you think about it, that plan isn't working, right? That normal isn't working. Again, last week we talked about the results of this. We went over the results and we went into how many people are in debt, the stats about debt. Those results aren't working, but God wants us to change it up a little bit. God wants us to live a little crazy. That's why he spends so much time in scriptures laying out this completely different approach to our finances. His plan's crazy, but his plan is really the only way for us to end up living the life where we want to be, living the life where he wants us to be. And his plan is for us to be generous so we may fully live life. Yet if we go back to verses 18 and 19 in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. His plan is crazy. It goes against the norm. But the results also aren't normal. The results are better than anything we could ever imagine. The results are radical. The results are to fully live life, to take hold of the life that is truly life. Like, think about next level, right? That's insane. That's like next level, living a life that's fully life. That's what God wants us to experience. And if you think about it, if you think back to the craziest thing you ever did, the chances are, if it was crazy good, the results are pretty amazing. You think about it. Maybe your results for you are just a story that you can brag and tell about. I mean, you know what? I went bridge jumping. Who's done that, right? Nobody. That's crazy, right? I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I did all these things. Maybe that's your story. You could just tell about it. Maybe for you, you lived a different way and did something incredible where you really focused in on education. Maybe because of that, your career path is at a different level than what it ever would have been. If you do something crazy, oftentimes the results are crazy. You listen for me. Running this marathon next week will put me in the category of 0.5% of all the people in the United States. 0.5% of all the people in the United States have ever run a full marathon. And I'm wondering what like that is. The percentage has to go way down to people who weigh like 200 and above, right? I think there should be weight categories for runners, much like wrestling, because I think I would win it every single time. But it just throws me in a different level, and the results are crazy as well. I did actually lose some weight going through this, which makes sense. But the results are crazy as well. And God wants us to be generous so that we have crazy next level results. He wants us to have a different approach to life so that we can fully live life. And generosity is a different way of living. But it leads to an understanding of what it truly means to be rich. It leads to us living this life of freedom and living out His will. And here's what I want us to understand about generosity today. Here's what I want us to walk away with. God tells us to be generous, not because He doesn't want us to have our money, but because He doesn't want our money to have us. Again, this goes all the way back to this whole idea that we've been talking about being what being rich is. Being rich isn't just about having money. It's not just about having the nicest stuff, but it's about who we're rich in, not what we're rich in. And when we're rich in Him, money doesn't own us. Money doesn't have us. And when we're rich in Him, we understand that He already owns everything, including ourselves. He's in control of our lives, so we're not tied down. We're not held captive by anything. We're not enslaved to money through debt or any other means, right? But we're set free to live out His plan. And this is why God wants us to be generous. This is why God's plan is for us to be generous. God tells us to be generous, not because He doesn't want us to have our money, but because He doesn't want our money to have us. And there's a great illustration of this being lived out in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, which I want to spend some time in today. So if you have your Bibles, just flip back with me to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And in this passage of Scripture, here's Jesus. And He's preaching, and He's talking to many of the Jewish leaders. He's talking to a lot of the religious people and a lot of the Jewish people at that time. And everybody was really into it. And Jesus is actually like dropping the hammer. In fact, He even starts talking about some of the leaders. And the leaders are watching this. And He sees all these people really engaged. So these leaders see this. And all of a sudden, they become jealous. So they're kind of like thinking through this in their mindset. They're like, oh, this isn't good. But Jesus continues on. And He's preaching just and continuing on. And then He stops preaching. And this is where we're going to pick this up here in verse 41. It says this. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. So here's Jesus. Let's just set this up here. He's preaching, right? And then he stops, and then what they do is they take an offering. Much like we do at church, right? After service, we take an offering. I preach, and then we take an offering. This is kind of what Jesus is doing. But their offering was all kind of set up in the beginning portion of it, and then after the preaching, they all come up to give. And these people are given again into the treasury, and a part of that contributions is actually some distributions to go help others. Very similar to what we do. But think about this. What's it say Jesus did? He says He sat there and He watched people give. Now imagine this, right? So imagine after I preach, instead of me going over here and then like turning around and like just worshiping, so that way I don't see anything of what's going on in the offering, what if instead I like got up here and watched these people? Like I'm watching the ushers. I'm like, okay, no. Don't miss that. Go back there. Let's get Christian in the corner there, right? Let's get people there. Nope, Chris, we got to get Chris. Like, I'm watching this. Or better yet, what if I'm, like, following the ushers around and, like, looking at what people give in? Let's just say that's probably not acceptable, right? Many of you are going to be like, dude, I'm not coming back to that place. That place is crazy. But this is what Jesus was doing. He was watching people give. And I'm just going to say it's creepy, but Jesus can get away with it, right? So this is what He's doing. And it continues on. Check this out. It says this. It says, many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Now again, here's Jesus, and He's watching, but He's not watching like you and I would watch. It's a little bit different. See, when you and I hear that there's this poor widow, we think it's like somebody that needs help, right? We think it's somebody that's probably more likely to be on the receiving end of generosity. Like this is, for some reason, it doesn't talk about her age, but I automatically picture, like, this is somebody's grandma. This is somebody who's on a fixed income that we just want to take care of as well. And this is the person, like, if you think about it, like, this is the person that's, like, driving slow in front of you, and then, like, you're yelling at them the whole time, like, what is this? Why is this person even on the road? You go speed up and pass, and then you look by, and you realize that this is an old, poor widow, poor lady that's driving there, and you're like, instead of yelling, all of a sudden you wave and smile and say, oh, bless their heart, right? Don't act like you didn't do that before, I'm telling you. We all done it. But this is who this is, right? We don't necessarily put them in the generous category. We put them more on the receiving end. But Jesus is looking a little different, right? Because He's watching what's on the inside. He's watching for the heart. Jesus isn't watching like us, right? He's not watching to see the amount, but He's watching to see the motive. So check out His response after she gave. Verse 43 continues, it says this. It says, calling His disciples to Him, Jesus said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. See, many of these rich people, they threw in large amounts of money. And for us, we'd be like, man, that's good. Look at them. That's awesome. Like, that's an amazing thing. They're really helping out, right? But to Jesus, it really wasn't significant to him. To him, that wasn't true generosity. He wasn't impressed by that. He was impressed by the poor widow. He was impressed with the lady who was giving just those two mites, just those two copper coins. He was impressed with the lady who was giving back to those in her same situation. He was impressed with the lady that was giving out of her poverty. He was impressed because she was giving everything. He wasn't watching to see who had money. He was watching to see who wasn't had by money. And God tells us to be generous, not because he doesn't want us to have our money, but because he doesn't want our money to have us. And I think too many times we don't look at generosity with the same eyes as Jesus. Too many times we look at generosity as a way for God just to take our money. We look at generosity as only even dealing with money. But generosity is all about the heart. I think too many times, I think we even look at generosity as only being an option for those who are rich, right? Rich in this present world, those who have money. And when we think through this, right? When we think this way, and this is our mindset, it leads to this process, and it leads to money having us. If we think money, if we think generosity is based on the money we give and not how we give, we've already missed the point. Because we're placing our trust in money. We're placing our love in money before God. Again, this is why we're warned with one of the most quoted verses on money ever. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Then look at this verse. It says, "The love of money." Again, money by itself is not evil. Money by itself is just a tool. But the love of money is what can get us into problems. The love of money is what can really cause trouble. And if we're honest with ourselves, whether we have money or not, we've probably at one time or another struggled with loving money, with trusting money. Listen, you don't have to have money to love money. I think many of us, we chase after it, right? Our habits, again, going back to last week, our habits are out of whack, and we have this habit of chasing after money. We have this habit of chasing and searching for it everything because we think it's the answer. We'll do the latest get-rich-quick scheme. We'll do all these different things. Maybe we'll even stay at work a little longer, like that's a legit way to make money, but maybe we'll stay at work a little longer to get that overtime instead of spending time with our family because we want more money. And we don't necessarily want more money to give, but what we want to take. We want to get more, right? And the results from Scripture says this, it results in a wandering from the faith. It results in many griefs. And so we've been there before where we've had regrets because we chased after money. We've been there before because we have this stress because we chased after money. We've had this lack of sleep. We've had these fights. We've had all these different things. And the list of grief can go on and on and on. And if we're not careful, money can have a hold on us that we never really desired. It can slowly begin to own us. It can have us. But God is inviting us to a different way of life. Not one where our pursuits are simply to gain more for ourselves, but one where we have a blessing and he has a blessing to bless others around us. And it starts with generosity. The poor widow understood this, and so can we. So let's look at this. Go back with me to Mark 12, 44. It says, "They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Listen, it's not about how much you give, but what you give out of. To live a life of generosity and not let our money control us, not let our money have us, and to live like this widow, we have to do things just like her. We have to give of ourselves and we have to give of our stuff. So number one is this, give of ourselves. And giving ourselves, this means that we give without any type of selfish pursuit, right? It's giving with an unselfish pursuit. It's giving not selfishly, but selflessly. And this, again, goes back to our motives. When Jesus was watching these people, what was he doing? He was watching their motives. So think about it. What's your motive to give? Is your motive so that others can see how much you have, right? Is your motive so maybe that you can brag about how much you gave later? Is your motive so maybe you can brag to your IRS forms later so you get a big tax write-off, right? Is that your motive? Is your motive wrapped up in some different type of warped theology where you think you give more, you're going to receive more, right? Or is it simply to help? Is it simply to further a cause? Is it simply to further his cause? Go back and think through, what are your motives to give? And I want to challenge you to check your motives before you give. To generously give, we must give of ourselves, meaning we give selflessly. Philippians 2 states it this way, in verses 3 through 5, says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Giving of ourselves has nothing to do with selfish ambition. Giving of ourselves has nothing to do with vain conceit, but it's giving in humility. Think through this right now. How can you add values, and how can you value others above yourself? How can you look to the interest of others and not yourself this week? Maybe for you, maybe this week, you just need to be generous by offering encouragement to others. Maybe for you, maybe that generosity is showing gratitude and thanking others for what they've done in your life. Maybe for you, that's actually valuing others above yourself, putting them first, right? Maybe that's even serving them. Maybe that's even serving at the church. Again, we always say you can jump in and serve. We want you a part of our serve team to help a Sunday morning go, but also for you so that you can live out what Christ and what God wants you to live in your life. If you want to sign up, you can sign up at our Connect Desk now. But maybe you need to serve in some capacity, right? But maybe you just need to look to the interest of others above yourself. My challenge is you to give of yourself. And then number 2 is to give of your resources. Again, this poor widow, even though she was in poverty, she gave of her resources. She didn't let her poverty or her mindset of poverty even stop us. The truth is, I think many of us, we have a mindset of poverty that's keeping us from being generous. The poor widow never let that stop her. She still gave of her resources, and we need to do the same as well. I said it before, but God wants to use us as a vessel to work through. We should really act as conduit, allowing resources to flow in and through us. And we have a part of this, right? We have to give of the resources that God's entrusted us. This is how the early church started. In our last series, we talked about how the early church started and how it was better together. And one of the things they did is they continued to give to each other. They continued to be generous with their resources. In Acts chapter 2:45, it says this. It says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Give of your resources. Maybe today is the day you write your first check to the church, right? Maybe today is the day you make a commitment to give regularly. Maybe today is where you make a commitment to bless somebody you know through this week, whether it's a family member, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a friend. Maybe you're supposed to just bless them in some way. Maybe there's something that you've had in your basement for so long and you know that somebody else could use it, but you think, man, I still want this. Guess what? Maybe today is the day you give that away to somebody else to bless them. But give of your resources. God tells us to be generous, not because he doesn't want us to have our money, but because he doesn't want our money to have us. The truth is, you don't have to be held captive by your money. You don't have to be held captive by the love of money. God wants us to be generous so that we can experience more and more of his freedom. Again, he gave his son for each and every one of us to die on a cross, and not only die on a cross, but to be risen again so that we could experience his freedom. And one way we can actively do that and practically do that is through generosity. We can live a life that way. Imagine living a life focused on others and God rather than just ourselves. Imagine living a life focused on God rather than the stress and the tension of money. And when we live out generosity, this is what happens. When we give, it keeps our life focused on him and not ourselves. And God is a God of first. And when it comes to our life, he wants our time, our talent, our stuff, and ourselves. And he's asking us to make him first. Not for him, but for us. So live a life of generosity. Live a life where you place him first, even in your finances. Live a life of being rich. Rich in him. Rich in good deeds and rich in generosity. And choosing to be generous is not a financial decision, but it's a spiritual decision. And God's standing there waiting for us to make that decision. He's waiting to give us the encouragement and the courage to jump in. So what's a way you can be generous this week? What's a way that you can give and give back? And if you're not doing it right now, what's holding you back?
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.lifechangechurch.com. mylifechangedchurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.